अनन्याश्चिन्तयन्तो मां ते जनां पर्युपासते तेषां नित्याभियुक्तानां योगक्षेमं वहाम्यहम्। नौ द लास्ट फ्रेज ऑफ द श्लोका दैट आई जस्ट ड्रू फ्रॉम भगवद्गीता वुड नॉट बी एन अनफेमिलियर स्लोगन टू एनी ऑफ अस बिकॉज एनीबडी हू वाज बोर्न इन द 1990s एंड सिंस देन द श्लोका ऑफ और द फ्रेज योगक्षेमं वहाम्यहम् वुड बी अ वेरी नॉर्मल थिंग और अ हाउस होल्ड फ्रेज दैट समबडी हैज लिसन टू और कम थ्रू इन हिज टीवी एड्स। इट कनेक्ट अस टू वन ऑफ द मोस्ट prominent and dominating brands in the insurance industry, and that's the Life Insurance Corporation of India. Now, we all would have had one uncle or one relative or one family friend in our circles who would always ask us, LIC karwaya hai kya? Agar nahi to you can just come to me. So, I was often wondering that how one brand could be synonymous to this entire broad idea called insurance. This question was actually propping and re-propping in my mind ever since I started reading a lot of stuff and ever since I started. And that is when this book called The LIC Story by Kamalji Sahai, who was one of the executive directors of LIC earlier, caught my attention. And I had an opportunity to read this book somewhere around 2017. And from then on, this book and the way it was written and the idea of how LIC actually still stays relevant in a country like India, that has been very fascinating for me. So, hi friends, here I am with another book review of mine, and this time I am covering the book called The LIC Story by Kamalji Sahai. And Kamalji Sahai is one of the former executive directors of LIC and a person who was at the peak of the time when LIC transformed itself into a force to reckon with today. In a recent context, if we just look at how relevant LIC is in the economic scenario, we can understand that LIC increased its stake in the newly merged HDFC entity from 4.8 to 9.9. And now the moment LIC did a press release of this announcement, the shares of HDFC Bank just skyrocketed and they touched green, even though the market did not take their merger well. So that is the amount of clout LIC as an organization holds in today's economy. Now, that is exactly the book covers of how LIC became such a force to reckon with. The book primarily covers its transformation area, especially from the Erasarian Committee of 1984, which suggested a slew of reforms for LIC and the insurance companies, and from then on how today LIC is at its dominant position. So now, like LIC, since established in 1956, it has come a long way, almost let's say 67, 68 years. Now, one of the things that LIC stands about, that stands out in the case of LIC is, LIC is an institution which was once formed and then a purpose was created for its formation. Especially if we look at India in the era of 1950s, a newly born independent country, the concept of life insurance was alien to people. We were a population who were looking at surviving. We were a population who were barely looking at our struggling economy. At that time, forming an entire company or a public sector undertaking for the idea of covering people's lives and insuring them, I think our founding fathers definitely deserve a credit for this, their foresight and their vision. Today also, if we look at the idea of life insurance, LIC holds a very dominant position. It is almost synonymous to the idea of insurance in our markets today, actually. Now, without much of an introduction more, I'll be going into the contents of the book and I'll try not to have much of spoilers so that people who actually want to read the book can enjoy and have. And I'll stick to basic gist and some ideas that actually impacted me or inspired me to and that I want to share with you. So basically, Kamalji Sahai starts this transformation journey from the time of 1984. When a parliamentary committee headed by Erasarian, a Tamil Nadu MP, actually suggested a slew of reforms for HDFC so that it stays relevant in the market. Now, we all know that it was 1990-1991, the Manmohan Singh time, when liberalization started and foreign companies actually wanted to take a pie of the Indian market and the huge untapped potential. But it was in 1984 itself that LIC saw this coming, and that is how they did a slew of reforms and a lot of internal changes to stay relevant and which I think paid off rich dividends to them even today. And the first idea actually was LIC did a slew of underwriting, LIC did a slew of reforms in the area of decentralization. And for that, it actually formed a separate department at its central office called Organizational Implementation Cell. Now, LIC's top management was very quick to recognize that changes actually have to happen from bottom to top rather than top to bottom, which is actually one of the problems that many public sector companies in India today even face. Myself, even working with a public sector organization, I can very well understand that the decision that LIC took in 1984 has paid them rich dividends. So coming back to the idea of organizational implementation cell, which LIC implemented in 1984, its branch heads across were given a lot of freedom, a lot of latitude, and a lot of functionality to work with and bring in new business. And there also LIC, the top management actually insisted on latitude, or you know, covering a wider range of population irrespective of social strata, income, and etc. And their products were designed like that. And though so, they realized that the branch or any LIC front office or a branch is the place where the real input and real feedback and real business lies. So their suggestions and their inputs and their feedbacks were taken by the organizational implementation cell at central office, and subsequently more decentralization was done. Now, another area where LIC actually did much better than its public sector peers was, you see, there are the business conclaves, reviews, and business meetings are a part of every organization. LIC actually made their conclaves more data oriented rather than ritualistic. And there was no parroting allowed actually in that conclaves. So as a result, their conclaves became more of think tanks, and their conclave became a more of rich reservoir of ideas for bringing in new business rather than, you know, a parroting or just a mere networking or a mere statutory compliant event, which actually even today is the problem with most of the public sector industries. Another area where LIC actually, before going to the next transformation which LIC did, I think anybody who's working at a managerial level or anybody who's having a team under him or anybody who's working in a team or in a big organization, they would definitely understand that it is ultimately the people who have to be taken into the confidence, or it is the HR that matters. Ultimately, because like Richard Branson says, if you take care of your staff and employees, they'll take care of the customers and business comes. And that is something I think LIC did pretty well. Because they implemented an entire HR exercise where, the people at the front line and decision making were trained to be less fearful of their superiors, or the entire system was so framed that there are lesser of reviews and more of feedbacks. There is lesser of criticism and more of suggestions. That is how actually LIC succeeded in breaking this idea called Pareto principle. So they, and by that way, they were able to extract a good amount of output and break this idea concept of 80-20 actually. That is where another interesting concept comes, which is called the Banyan tree syndrome. So you see, as you know, the banyan tree, its roots are very strong, or its roots go deep into the earth and it spreads out like a huge umbrella encompassing a lot of area. So that is where actually LIC also had this problem that, just like the roots of a banyan tree, the old practices, the old customs, the old mechanisms, the old traditions, etc. were so rooted in its culture that people who, when they joined LIC newly, or people who thought differently, or even, managers who wanted to try out new things were actually afraid to. Because of this, one is this deep-rooted conventional mindset, and added to that is the highly militant or highly aggressive and resistive opposition trade unions actually. Now, trade unions are a very integral part and ingrained into the concept of public sector, and how top management or how the management takes them along into confidence and deals with them, I think decides the success of the public sector. To a good extent, LIC has been very successful there. And this was actually even acknowledged by one of the former MDs of a public sector bank, A.K. Khandelwal, who says that the people in even the unions or the trade unions in the insurance sector are much less militant and much more customer-oriented and customer-friendly in the insurance sector when they compare it to public sector banks. So in this case, again, when it comes to the HR side, LIC, the top level management, LIC gave its branch managers and divisional managers much more power in handling the union, making reconciliatory moves, and also advised them not to be deal with the unions in an iron hand, but rather take them along and, you know, integrate everybody along. And the book actually quotes a number of instances where different branch managers dealt with different scenarios in different ways, totally unrelated to one another, but the common vision was same, that even the trade unions, they have to understand they are an integral part, but yet the business has to be improved. The organization on a is larger than anybody's individual interest. And I think that period of somewhere around 1990 to 2005, 2006, this kind of a mindset that LIC consciously developed in its managers paid off. Another area where LIC succeeded much more as compared to its other national public sector life insurance is that LIC focused more on its execution. So no matter how much good products you have, how many good underwriting mechanisms you have, how much good departmental setups you have, unless the execution is proper, things will not work on ground, or your numbers and your balance sheet are not going to increase. So again, that is where, so LIC, the top management, again, decentralize the entire operations. The managers at the branch level were given much more freedom to underwrite the policies, take decisions on their own without the fear of being reprimanded. A clear set of guidelines were issued where managers had a lot of freedom to take decisions, often at times going out of turn to help customers in individual cases. The book is having a wide range of incidents where many people actually recount their incidences. You know, the positive vibe or the positive positivity they get when they are able to impact a life, or when they are able to impact one customer who has put their money with them and taken a life insurance policy. So I think these kind of incidents also enable the managers to feel more confident about themselves, and at the same time bring more customers into their fold, because the customers have an amount of trust. Now, on a managerial side, we are all familiar with the concept of Alexander Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So, but this one single move of, you know, decentralization, empowering the managers and frontline managers, LIC, you know, killed two birds with one stroke. First was they addressed the top needs of the non-monetary needs as per the Maslow's hierarchy of need hierarchy for all the managers and people who were dealing with customers at the frontline. And at the same time, they also earned the trust of customer. So much that today they are, even today if you go to North India and say, Bima karwaya hai kya, people would be like, Bima is associated with LIC. Or the very idea of insurance is associated with LIC. This is another area where actually LIC has done much more better than its public sector counterparts, I would say. Even oil marketing companies, or even public sector banks, or its fellow competitive insurers. A testimony to this kind of management and this kind of proactive leadership generation is the fact that when private sector insurance companies entered India, almost 90% of their top management was absorbed or poached from LIC. And I think that is the quality very rarely public sector institutions have, that of creating good leaders. I think very few institutions in India can claim that they have created good leaders. And LIC would definitely be one of them. Because if we look at Union Bank of India's life insurance partner, or SBI Life Insurance, or Daiichi, or Star Alliance, Star Health Insurance, everywhere people who at some point were associated with LIC as at different ranks, they have been poached. I think so this generation of quality leadership is one another strength that LIC has. And the idea has been very lucidly and, you know, in a very layman terms explained in the book by Kamalji Sahai, who was actually in one of the top level decision making portfolios in LIC at that time. And at some point, he was also in the personal management section at the LIC central office. So the idea that he realizes the importance of people and how good HR practices can actually, you know, do good for the organization in the long run. Another important or very connectable concept to me in the book was that of scalable efficiency, which I think is very relevant again in today's public sector world. The concept of scalable efficiency is that when organizations actually don't go for much disruptive innovation, but rather they stick to standardized products and services that actually incorporate even the lowest common denominator of their population or their customer base. And I think that way LIC has been scalably very efficient because their products cater to the ultra-rich HNIs to a very normal blue-collar job worker also. So that way, again, LIC, you know, is a testimony of this concept called scalable efficiency, which is a concept proposed by a management expert called Ronald Coase. Now, again, we all know the fact that from our childhood, we must have seen a lot of LIC agents, or even some of our family members or family uncles or aunties would have been LIC agents actually. LIC very early recognized the fact that more than its branch permanent employees or its branch heads or its frontline official staff, it is the agents who are the real brand ambassadors for LIC. Because they will be the people who will actually be talking to the customers on ground, or who will be even venturing into areas where LIC does not have a physical brick and mortar branch or presence, and they will be sourcing business for LIC. So the way they designed an incentive structure for their agents, the way they designed their welfare schemes for the agents, and the way they decided the rewards, even non-monetary rewards, which includes their recognitions, felicitations, etc. by the LIC top management. The structure they designed actually enabled or inspired their LIC agents to want to do even more and more for the organization. Because it was very clear to them that when the LIC as a corporate company did well, it is them who will be benefiting from that, or probably the trickle-down effect. The company does well, even the lowest strata of the policy insurance agent would be benefited out of it. So this kind of a cultural change and recognizing that the agents are the major driving force for their business, something I guess again LIC, the people at that time who created such a culture deserve all the credit for that. Even today, if the numbers are not wrong, a major chunk of the business is bought by the LIC agents and not by their direct staff on their payrolls. And such a survival story of having so many agents on their panel and bringing in so much business and despite being a giant, I think it's really commendable. Now about coming to the book once again, so like I mentioned, all these areas have been very lucidly explained by the author in this book. Then a number of individual incidents, information, data, and again, a lot of testimonials, etc., have been very much, incorporated in this book, and it makes for a very interesting read. I still remember quite a lot of these incidents, quite a lot of these aspects, even after reading this book 5 years ago. I think for anybody who's looking to, read a bit of non-fiction from rather, fiction, a non-fiction novel, I think this book would be a very good weekend read, or probably you have a 3-day weekend. I think this book is something you must grab and read. Very few public sector companies have been able to weather this kind of a storm and, sustain almost for 67, 70 years and yet stay relevant. Yet stay relevant and also occupy a very dominant position in the market economy. Today, if we look at LIC as a brand, it is like touched every livelihood, every life. They have a significant stake in the Indian economy. Or if we look at any major players, any major infrastructure projects, any major company, LIC has a stake there. Their decision can make or, move the market up or down. So from 1956, as a very newly born nationalized insurance company to a very dominant market player, or probably one of the government's biggest cash cows. It's a combination of HR policies, good leadership, implementing a lot of changes internally. So all these together have yielded rich dividends for LIC, and I think the top leadership deserves the credit for that. Now, another thing that I realized upon reading the book is that, you know, in a typical public sector or a very bureaucratic organization, the top management actually has an attitude of following up or, you know, reviewing with the business figures and sales figures from its frontline employees. But LIC smartly, on the other hand, did something that they, you know, they made their backend very strong. For example, the underwriting mechanism, the claim settlement process, the reimbursement process, then the policy documentation, the digital storage, the archivals, etc. These things were very, very solid, strong, and, you know, function was extremely smooth. So as a result, their agents or their frontline staff did not have to bother much with the compliance work or, you know, the paperwork and back-end works, which was actually automated from the central office. And so they were free to develop the business. And then the top management could actually demand business from them because the enablers they had were good. This is quite unlike the case in public sectors where the, you know, IT infrastructure is very substandard or very backward, and yet the top management pressurizes their frontline staff or business figures, etc. So I think again LIC deserves a credit for, you know, smartly maneuvering that and, you know, putting them on a moral high side that they can demand numbers from their employees. So this is one thing that I felt the book does not explicitly mention, but throughout, about when I read about the initiatives and the changes that they bought in LIC from 1984 to 96, I think this is one area that I missed out on earlier. So that is why I'm concluding my review with this. Once again, thanks for listening. But I think if you have a long weekend or a 2-day, 3-day weekend, I think the LIC story by Kamalji Saha is a good read.